you have your Bibles with me, standing with me, we're going to read 1 Kings chapter 17, and from the first through the ninth verse. I typically don't read that many verses, but I got something I want to share with us tonight that in order to get to where we need to go, I need to read a little bit more than normal. 1 Kings 17 and 1 says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word, according to my word." Notice this. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith." This is before Jordan. And notice this. "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded." Somebody say commanded. Say commanded. "The ravens to feed thee there." And so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Notice this. "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Notice this. Verse 8 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," notice this, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now I want to preach to you, teach on this thought tonight, the commandment of a provision. The commandment of a provision. God bless you as you are seated in the presence of the Lord. Commandment is to direct with specific authority. It's to require authoritatively. A commandment is a demand. It's an appointment. It is something that is imposed. The scripture tells us in Psalm 112 and 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, and blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." Blessed is the man that feareth or has reverence in the Lord and has a delight in the commandments of the Lord. We can depend on God. Amen. Come on, somebody. You here with me this evening? We can depend on God. You can depend on God. God does things His way. And God does things His time, and God is never lacking in supply. Somebody help me tonight. Psalm 24 and 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." In our scripture setting, the prophet of God, Elijah, he was one of the first in a long line of prophets of God that the Lord had sent to the children of Israel and to deliver them and to preach and to guide them spiritually from among the heathen and among the pagans. And this was the case for almost 300 years, Sobrino, and the drought was a result of the word of God. It was a drought because God had allowed it to be so. Let me just remind of something that God has allowed some things in our day and time to take place. And it doesn't mean that this place and time that we're living in is meant to destroy us. We ought to look at it as an opportunity to let our light shine. Let it be as an opportunity to let our faith grow in the Lord. In fact, this is a season of our faith. And in fact, we know that the scripture setting that we're reading in 1 Kings 17 is that the drought was about 3.5 years. Specifically, James chapter 5 and 17 tells us Elijah was a man of subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by a space of 3.5 years. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. James mentioned about Elijah praying. But before they got to the praying part, there was a famine or a drought, and there was no rain. And I wonder how many of us have been praying and are praying or were praying that there would be a spiritual awakening that would take place in our family or in our homes, in our marriages, in our church, in your jobs. And the Lord has allowed there to be a pause. The Lord has allowed there, thank the Lord that He's allowed there to be a reset for some of us to say, you know what? I'm not really comfortable with the way things are right now, but I'm thankful that I serve a God that commands provision for His people even when there's a slowdown. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And I'm thankful here tonight. I'm thankful tonight to pastor a church that believes in prayer, and not only believes in prayer, but prays. And we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to pray, and we're going to wash our hands. Somebody say amen. But the church has been praying, and the people of God have been praying, and believers all across the world have been praying. Somebody say pray and wash your hands. But just because Elijah was the man of God, and just because God used Elijah to prophesy and declare that there was going to be no rain, there was going to be a drought, did not exempt, excuse, or remove Elijah from what was taking place. Sometimes I think we feel as believers that we are exempt or excused from tough times. Here, Pastor, that we are exempt, excused from persecution or dry times or seasons of uncertainty because we are a child of God. Being a child of God does not guarantee you that tough times will not come, but it does guarantee you something else. Notice this, what it does guarantee you in Philippians chapter 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. God's economy is not in a crisis. God's economy is not in distress. God's economy is not bankrupt or on furlough. God's health is not on quarantine. God is alive and well and strong and just as real today as He has ever been. And being a child of God guarantees you that He's going to take care of your needs according to His riches and glory. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Being a child of God does not guarantee you that you won't get sick or that sickness or disease may not come your way. But it does give you hope in the Word of God. And Isaiah 53 and 5 tells us, but He was wounded for our transgressions. Somebody say that's me. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Somebody say amen. We got to remember what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 103 and 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Before I get to my points tonight, I got 3 points tonight I want to make. I want to stir something in us. I want us to understand that we serve a God that commands provision for His people. And this pandemic and this furlough and this shelter in place will not last forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. And we serve a God this evening that commands provision for His people. The first point I want to make this evening is, God will use natural ways to provide for His people. This is a revelation tonight that we all got to get. You, if you're taking notes, you need to write and highlight tonight on what I'm going to talk about. First point is, God will use natural ways to provide for His people. Rain was a natural way to receive water, and it is today. Rain is a natural way to receive water. However, when the rain was stopped by God, this was a problem. And then furthermore, Elijah prophesied that there wasn't going to be any more rain until the Lord says so. But through it, God was going to take care of him. Notice this in 1 Kings 17:3. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. 1 Kings 17:4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. Even though there was no rain and there was a drought, the Lord had already provided a brook, a natural brook that was already in place, that already had water in place to sustain the man of God. There was water already, enough water for the man of God to have water to drink, even when there was not going to be any rain. When there was a literal drought, the Lord had already prepared a place. He already had provision for the man of God in order to sustain him. Can I just talk right here to some of you for a moment and just encourage you and remind you of some things? Even though there may be some things in the natural that are taking place where your hours have gotten cut, and you may have been on furlough, and you may have been in between jobs, and you were sent home, and they told you we could pay you up to this point. But can I also tell you that there has been some phone calls, and there has been some conversations that I've had where folks have gone through some furlough, and they have experienced some setbacks on their job. But everyone else around them has experienced the setbacks. But the people of God have either, they've gotten promoted these last 2 weeks. They've gotten bonuses these last 2 weeks. There's people that have had more tenure and time on the job, and they've gotten let go. But the people of God didn't get let go. Can I tell you, it's because God commands a provision for his people. Hear Pastor Panero, hear me tonight. God will use the natural things during this shelter in place to sustain his people. He will use our jobs to sustain us. It means that you may have to work. You may have to work from home. You may have to answer that phone call that you know they're going to call you in for extra hours. But I believe God's going to allow those things to take place. I believe God's going to allow overtime to take place. And those that are business owners, I believe that the prophecy we received a couple weeks ago is falling into place right now, that businesses will grow and thrive, and that people will receive blessings on their job. Can I tell you, God's going to use natural things during this time. God's going to use overtime and bonuses and medicine and technology. But God is also, he takes good notes. And if you've been faithful in stewardship, God is going to see that you've been faithful, and he's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you because he commands provision. The other thing that God is real good at taking notes in is the spiritual integrity of his people. And I believe now more than ever, God will command a blessing of provision upon those that have had a spiritual integrity during these times. This is a season for God to allow us to be stretched in our faith. Notice what the word of the Lord says about being sustained. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The brook was a common place for water. That water was going to be used to sustain the man of God. The Lord knew exactly how much water was in that brook. The Lord knew exactly how much water Elijah was going to need to be sustained. And let me tell you wonderful saints of God something here tonight. Listen to Pastor. God knows what you need. He knows how much you need. He knows when you need it. And he knows how long you're going to need it. Amen. He even knows about our wants. But he knows about our needs. Come on, somebody. And we need to let this season of time that we're in, allow our faith and our reliance on God to be magnified. Notice what Nehemiah tells us in Nehemiah 9:6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. He preserveth them all. Notice the second point I want to make tonight. God will use unnatural ways to provide for his people. Notice the scripture setting, 1 Kings chapter 17 and 4. Somebody's going to get a revelation of this tonight, and it is going to change the course of your walk with God and your mindset from a spiritual provision and stewardship from here on out. Notice this. God will use unnatural ways to provide for his people. 1 Kings 17 and 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded thee the ravens to feed thee. Notice this. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, I don't know about you, but when I see birds, they're either flying or they're eating. You ever drive down the road before all this took place, and you're driving and you see roadkill, and then you see some birds there. They're going to town, and they'll wait until you get to, like, you think you're going to hit them, and they're just going to town eating, and then they fly away, and you pass by, and then they come back and they eat whatever was left there. Because birds will eat whatever you give them. You ever feed the ducks bread? You know, the ducks don't feed us bread, right? When was the last time you went to the park to go eat bread for the ducks? Never. But you take, well, I don't know if this is legal or not anymore, but you're feeding the ducks bread, right? And the ducks will eat all the bread you give them. What are they? They eat all the bread you give them, and they'll sit there and stare at you until you give them more, and you leave. Somebody else comes and gives them bread, and what do? They eat it, because the birds will eat whatever you give them. We put bird feeders in our yards. Birds eat what they see. You ever see a seagull digging in the trash? Right? Because that's what they do. They just eating at whatever. But when God commands something to happen, it happens, regardless of if it's natural or unnatural. God commanded the ravens. Notice what the scripture said. He says that I've commanded the ravens to sustain you, is what's taking place. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. So that is unnatural. Here, Pastor, it is unnatural for the ravens to bring food to the man of God. It'd be more natural for the ravens to eat the bread and to eat the flesh. But God has a way of saying, you know what? I have the way of changing things and making things that are natural become unnatural. If I want to feed the people of God with ravens, with that will bring bread and water, or bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat at night, I'll do it. If I want to make manna come down from heaven, I'm a God that would able to supply all the needs of the people of God. It was bread and it was meat twice a day. This was not Cafe Runner delivering food because somebody ordered it online. This was God delivering for the man of God, using something that would, well, we would say, well, that's just not natural. That's kind of unnatural. It's a miracle that the ravens didn't eat the bread and the flesh. And they came constantly and consistently without fail every day in the morning and every day in the evening, for as long as the Lord allowed it to take place, because God commanded it to take place. Our God is faithful. He's dependable. Our God is trustworthy. Come on, somebody. When we find ourselves in a valley or a wilderness situation. He's the same God that is in the mountaintop as He is in the valley or the wilderness. He's the same God that was with us in October when we had miracles, or in January when we had miracles of healing. He's the same God that is with us today, and He's the same God that will be with us tomorrow. And furthermore, when God commands something, He commands it for His people, and He'll use natural and He'll use unnatural things for it to take place. Someone say provision. The last point I want to make tonight is God will use miracles or supernatural ways to provide for His people. God will use miracles or supernatural ways to provide for His people. Notice this. But in order for God to use miracles or supernatural ways to provide for His people, His people have to be in a place where there has to be an expectation or a need for a miracle or a supernatural blessing to take place. It's just not, well, Lord, I need a miracle. We need to be in need of a miracle, and we need to be expecting God to do the miraculous. I am more convinced, and maybe even convicted now more than ever in my spirit, that all of the miracles that we have been blessed to see at Revival Tabernacle in the last 2 years, or even this year, I believe that was just a foundation and a precursor to build our faith to what it be for whatever it is we're going to be experiencing in the weeks and the days to come. That God was saying, didn't you remember when I healed somebody, when I blessed somebody, when I took care of somebody in this situation? And we have to be able to testify and remind ourselves again that if God did it for us yesterday, He can do it for us today, and He can do it again for us tomorrow. Yep. Notice what the scripture says in 1 Kings 17 and 8 and verse 9 as well. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So the brook dried up. But the Lord says, hey, I need you to go to Zidon or to Zarephath. And there's a widow woman there who is nameless, and she's going to sustain you. And here again, we see, I have commanded. We see a commandment of provision again of God taking care of His people. Notice this. Remember, there was a drought, and this widow woman had a son. You were going to read here in a second, but what's taking place here is the drought didn't go away. The fact that the man of God was still in need, and the fact that God had told him that I'm going to command something to take place. Listen, saints of God, if you're in the will of God and you are living for the Lord according to the best of your ability, you've been baptized in His name, you've been filled with the Spirit, and you're living a life of holiness and righteousness before the Lord, and you're being a good steward of what God has entrusted you with, can I tell you, God is going to take care of you. He always has, and He always will. But notice this, 1 Kings 17 and 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came there to the gate of the city, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called her and said, fetch, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I'm thirsty. Will you bring me something to drink? He's asking her for something that's very rare, a commodity that they didn't have plenty of water. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Bring me some bread. Bring me a biscuit. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elisha said unto her, notice this, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. powerful. And the barrel of meat was wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. God commanded ravens, God provided a brook, and now he's commanding a widow woman to provide for the man of God. God prepared for him again. And it came from an unexpected mean. Not someone that was rich with abundance. We don't know the lady's name. But most likely it was a lady that was poor, because she was already down to just a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And that was her last meal. And they were going to eat it and starve to death. And so the man of God comes and he tells her, I'd like some water, and make me something to eat. And because of Elijah's obedience to the word of God, or the voice of God, and because of the woman's obedience to the man of God, or the voice of God, God provided and sustained for them using a supernatural mean, and it blessed them, and it kept them, and it sustained them. Because God commanded provision. God provided and performed a miracle to both of them, even though there was a drought. I want to just tell somebody this evening that David tells us in Psalms 37 and 25 that I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We can trust God. We can rely on God, but we have to obey God and his word, and understand that even if I don't see the provision, even if I don't see what God is going to do, God provides for his people. God will provide for you. God will provide for your neighbor. God will provide for the church. But we have to trust him. We have to obey him. We got to ensure that of everything that we're hearing and listening and reading and believing, that above all that, we need to listen and obey and receive and trust the word of God. God provides. God provides for his people. Not necessarily in the way that we expect. I wonder if Elijah thought, well, ravens are going to feed me twice a day? Bread, tortillas and carne asada twice a day from the birds? Drinking water from the brook? Wow. Wow. And then a widow woman, down to her last little bit of oatmeal provided for the man of God. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. Notice what the scripture says as we stand tonight. Number 624. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God took care of Elijah. And God's going to take care of you too. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. We serve a God of provision. We serve a God that provides. He's still Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. He provided for the children of Israel in a literal wilderness. He allowed it to rain manna from heaven. Every day they had food to eat. Can I tell you, God is a God a provision. I believe during this time, there's going to be people that are down to their last dollar and maybe their last bowl of oatmeal, and God's going to take care of your people. I'm telling you, saints of God, now is the time to be in the church. Now is the time to stay in the church, because our God is going to take care of you, Revival Tabernacle, because he's a God that commands provision. He'll use unnatural ways. He'll use natural ways. And then he'll use the supernatural to bless his people. Come on. Would you lift your hands right where you are? Would you lift your voice? And would you give God a sacrifice, a prayer, a praise, and worship? Would you do that all around the sanctuary, all around your house? Would you do that? Would you lift your hands? Come on, lift your voice. There you go. He's the way maker this evening. He's the promise keeper. He's going to take care of you, Revival Tabernacle. He's going to take care of us. We're going to be greater and stronger and bigger and more faith and more encouraged than ever before. Waymaker,
miracle worker, promise keeper,
light
in the darkness.
My
God, woo! That is who you are.
Let's do that again. Waymaker, waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper.
Promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that
woo!
Is who you are.
I feel
are.
The Holy Ghost. I feel faith in this house. I feel faith rising up. Somebody testify. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you in Jesus' name. Come on. He's the light in the darkness. He's our God today. Sing with us.
Moving in on me.
Come worship. I worship you. Come on, Revival Tabernacle.
I worship.
Who else do you got but him?
You are here, working in this place.
Somebody say, I worship.
I worship you.
I worship, I worship.
I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Would you sing it with us? Let me hear you.
Light in the dark.